Welcome back to Simplify. This is L.J. Harry, author of the devotional Simplify. And I want to say how thankful I am for all of you who have been a part of this podcast. Thank you for everybody who has downloaded and shared and told others about this podcast and about the devotional Simplify. I hope you are closer to Jesus as a result of taking this journey with me. And I look forward to getting even closer to Him as we continue the journey. Today we're on week 19 of our year, and so we're on week 19 of Simplify. And if you have not heard last week's podcast, you should go back and listen to that episode. It is called Our Miracle on Monroe Harbor, and it lets you know the story of how God got us a house we could not afford, but He worked everything out just in time for us to be able to get that house. This episode is 3 years later. And it details how God allowed us to sell the house and be able to move to Ohio, where we feel like God has called my family and me to serve as pastor here in my home church in Mount Vernon. So take this journey with me on week 19 as I share with you our second miracle on Monroe Harbor. What a difference 3 years makes. We were so excited to buy the house on Monroe Harbor. We could paint the walls without needing permission. We could hang pictures and even change the carpet. But that also meant we had to mow the grass. We would need a lawnmower. Then the air conditioner started to choke up. We're going to need a service tech. And there were termites. Pesky termites. We're going to need an exterminator. This is going to get pricey. The church was kind. They were doing everything they could to support us. It was a wonder we were able to be there full-time with such a high cost of living. But the pastor and the church believed in us. But being a homeowner meant if anything broke, we were broke. That's when I swallowed hard, pulled out my first credit card, and paid $1,000 to insure against those pesky wood-munching pests. Then 2006 came, and the housing market in Orlando was booming. There were market meteorologists forecasting sunny skies for decades. Orlando Metro was a great place to live, a great place to raise a family. It's the happiest place on earth, according to the Disney website. But we felt God tugging on us to come home to Mount Vernon, Ohio, where I grew up. We prayed, talked with elders, and put our house on the market. Since houses were selling like snow cones in the Sahara, I knew we would sell our house in no time. But we didn't. We had a lot of interest, but no offers. I was just hoping we would sell our house in time. I was worried. Okay, God, we've got 2 months left. We've got this much money left. And then it happened. One morning before going to the church office, I was reading my daily devotion and read Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. I felt conviction. I trusted God to help us buy the house, but it had been a while since I trusted Him to help us sell it. I hadn't given our tithes in a while because I didn't think we could afford it. I was in the ministry, but I wasn't giving to support the ministry. We were doing what we could to keep our heads above water and keep our water on. I thought I could use that 10% to pay our bills rather than trust God to help us pay our bills. But when I read that passage, God convicted me about not being faithful to Him financially. I was going to church every weekend and every midweek. I was preaching the gospel with all the fervor inside of me. I was reading my Bible and praying every day as much as I could, but I wasn't being faithful with my finances. And I realized the Lord needed to be Lord in this area of my life. So I told Him I would trust Him, even though I was scared. I figured out how much we still needed to give from the last few weeks as I drove to the office. When I sat down at my desk, pulled out my checkbook, and started to write the name of the church on the payee line, my Nextel phone rang. This was a while ago. I hadn't even finished writing the short name of the church. On the other end of the line was a couple who wanted to see our house. They made an offer and bought our house for much more than we bought it. We gave our tithe, gave our offering, paid off all our debts, and moved to Mount Vernon debt-free. And it all happened immediately after I decided to trust God. If you are faithfully giving to God, keep giving. You can't afford not to put God first. If you are not faithfully giving, start giving. You may not think you can afford to, but you can't afford not to put God first. I can tell you from experience, He can do more with less when we choose to trust Him than we can ever do without Him. I want to pray that the Lord would help us to trust Him, but more than that, that He would help us to be generous in our giving, and He would help us to realize everything He has given us belongs to Him, and all He asks us is to return the first fruits, the first 10% of our income, as a show of trust in Him and gratitude to Him. Lord, thank You for providing for us. Thank You for caring about our needs and meeting them. I surrender my finances to You. I trust You in every area of my life, including how I spend my money. I will faithfully give to support Your kingdom and believe You can do more with what I give than I could ever do by keeping it all to myself. You gave everything I have to me. Help me to give back what You are due. In Jesus' name, amen. The verse that unlocked this miracle is the one we read already, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 9 through 10. Honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with the new wine. I hope you are giving, but if not, I hope and trust you will start giving. Let me give you a great resource to help you understand why we give and to give you testimonies on what happens when God's people are generous and liberal in their giving and God rewards them. There's a great book I'm reading right now called The Blessed Life, written by Robert Morris. And it is not a preacher telling everybody how to get rich by giving or sow seeds into a ministry. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It's not even a get-rich-slow scheme. But it is from a preacher and pastor who has lived out the principles of giving as he has seen in the Scripture, and God has rewarded him to allow him to continue to give more to bless other people as God has blessed him. And there's a great story in the book, and I won't spoil it for you because I trust you'll get it. But where he goes on a mission to outgive God, and God proves you just can't outgive Him. So I hope you'll get that book. It's an excellent book. Speaking of getting books, I do hope you'll get Simplify. You can purchase Simplify at PentecostalPublishing.com. It's available in print and on Kindle. Thank you so much for being a part of this episode and this podcast. If it has blessed you, please let me know on social media. My Instagram and Twitter handles are LJ and Andrea, LJ A-N-D-A-N-D-R-E-A. And Facebook is simply lj.harry. Share it with others and let them know about what God is doing through this podcast. Next week is Mother's Day, and next week's episode is called The Empty Chair. And it tells a story about a time when my bride, the lovely Andrea, was away, and it was just the girls and me, and I was playing Mr. Mom. And at first, man, I thought I had it. But then I realized just how much Andrea means to us and does for us. So I look forward to talking to you and sharing with you a story about the empty chair. God bless you much. Thanks for being a part. Look forward to talking to you next week as we continue to walk with Jesus through Simplify.